Coming up next on Daddy on Board 86, I've got the best of the parenting blogs for you, info on a new podcast for families impacted by autism, and the forerunner for Mother of the Year. All that and more is right around the corner on The Daub. Our show sponsors Gazelle.com want to give you money for your used smartphone, tablet device, or other consumer electronic good. So if you're looking for fast payment, fair prices, and free shipping to unload your gadget or doohickey, you need to go over and see our great show sponsors at Gazelle.com. They're the industry leaders when it comes to radar detection, and they're our show sponsors, Cobra Electronics. Find out more about their entire line of detectors, GPS navigation, CB radios, and a whole lot more when you visit their website, Cobra.com. Parents new and expectant, pre-existing and or hesitant, welcome to Daddy on Board 86. If you've come to the most trusted source online for parenting information, unfortunately you've come to the wrong podcast. My name is Mike Quackenbush. I'm a parent podcaster and professional wrestler, and I will serve up to you today on The Daub some news stories, the best of the blogosphere, your little victories, and a whole bunch more. Before I dive right into the news, I want to take a moment, though, and extend my congratulations to a friend of mine whose second child has just arrived, Dr. Keith Lipinski. Congratulations to you, to your wife, your son Gavin as well, on the arrival of your baby daughter. Do try to get yourself some sleep, good Dr. Keith, won't you? Dr. Keith is a real trooper. He and I crossed paths in the world of professional wrestling. He even managed to make it out to see me in Chicago Ridge this past weekend, just hours after the arrival of his little one. You're hardcore, Keith. Let's talk about what was big this week, shall we? Or just big in general. This week, The Guardian, which is the UK equivalent of, let's say, the National Enquirer, ran a story entitled "Number of U.S. Newborns with Drug Withdrawal Triples." Researchers find that a baby is born every hour in the United States with signs of opiate drug withdrawal. One per hour. My fellow Americans, we can do better than that. Journal of the American Medical Association says this new study of theirs underscores the growing problem posed by powerful prescription painkillers in the U.S., which featured a lot of alliteration. Mothers testing positive for opiates in the last decade has increased fivefold. This study ran from the year 2000 to 2009, by the way. Opiates include pain medication and street drugs such as Oxycontin, codeine, morphine, heroin, methadone, and others. So glad to read that Frappuccino isn't on that list. That's the drug of choice in my hood. Newborn babies who show signs of withdrawal are born earlier than average and have a higher risk of breathing problems and seizures, according to experts. They require careful monitoring and treatment to wean them off the drugs before they can go home. This, of course, also then represents an increased burden to our healthcare system. And I don't know if you know this, but our healthcare here in the United States isn't all that awesome to begin with. That's the one thing you've got on us, Canada. That and your syrup. Your delicious syrup, Canada. This week, the Wall Street Journal, which is the U.S. equivalent of the National Enquirer, ran a story entitled, "No Easy Cure for Diabetic Children." Really? I didn't think there was a cure at all. Children are still getting diabetes, the way I understand it. Anyway, a lot of good information here, which now I will read to you. It's important that I don't screw any of this up by paraphrasing. The only pill approved in the United States for treatment of children with type 2 diabetes is proving surprisingly ineffective, according to a new study. This heightens worries about the fast-growing and largely preventable disease. The research, which broke on Sunday, I don't know why on Sunday, but scientists woke up and, oh, we should do something today. They're all atheists, I guess, and they didn't have to go anywhere. Is one of the first long-term studies that test the effectiveness in drugs for diabetic children, estimated in the United States to number in the tens of thousands, these diabetic children. Now, they tested three different drug-based regimens aimed at controlling the disease. They found that only about half the participants successfully controlled their blood sugar, despite relatively good compliance with the plan. Researchers said the findings suggested a majority of youth with the disease may require more than one oral medication or resort to insulin injections within a few years of diagnosis. These disappointing results, some of which caught researchers by surprise, as you can imagine on a Sunday morning, I mean, who wouldn't be surprised by this, they underscore the daunting challenges in treating this condition, which has been viewed as an adult disease until it emerged among adolescents in the past 15 to 20 years, alongside of rising rates of obesity. Obesity hinders the way the body regulates blood sugar, contributing to development of type 2 diabetes and making the illness largely preventable by maintaining proper body weight through diet and exercise. Yeah, I don't know if you know that. Obesity means fatness. The study suggests the message for families with children at risk of becoming obese is to work to prevent the onset of obesity as early as possible. Thanks to the Wall Street Journal for letting me rip off all their well-organized research and whatnot there. In a second, we're going to talk about the best of the blogosphere. Hey, I'm also going to tell you a little bit about Batman today on the Dabei. But before I get that, I want to tell you this story. This was on ABC News. It was on a lot of places, actually, about the disrespectful teen. This is down in North Carolina. A 15-year-old, she's a ninth grader, was made by her father to carry around a sign alongside busy Highway 17 in New Bern, North Carolina, that read, "I have a bad attitude. I disrespect people who try to help me." Donnell Bryant, who was the father in question here, told the ABC News affiliate down there that he's asked his 15-year-old, who's become a mean girl in high school, to do this. She's been suspended for disrespecting her teachers. I love stories like this. I know there are people out there, I could tell by the number of comments that follow this everywhere this story went this week, I know there are people that are like outraged by this kind of story. I'm really amused by this kind of story. I wish there were more. If there was like one of these every week, I would talk about it every week here on Daddy on Board. Maybe that's because as these seem to be growing, right, these parents that are shaming their kids, maybe I've become desensitized to it, and so it's hard for me to have like a really harsh reaction to it. Maybe it's the fact that I was raised Roman Catholic, where shaming is such a part of your daily routine in Catholic school. This seems like a slap on the wrist, really. I mean, let's get serious here. In a lot of the photos that people tried to snap, the teenager in question used the sign to hide her face. Like, yeah, she's really being effectively shamed here. Maybe if we did like a sandwich board thing that had the hang on her so we could see her face, I think that might be a more effective method of doing the shaming. I'm sure that a lot of the teachers from my Catholic school could come up with some great ideas. That seems to really be their realm of expertise. On a lot of theological things looking to get agreement, I don't think you will. I've been told some pretty disparate concepts by the people at my Roman Catholic elementary school. But I think when it comes to shaming, you might get a consensus from them. I can get you their contact info if you want there, Donnell Bryant, if you're a loyal Dub Bobber. Anyway, parents, let's talk for a moment about the kind of panic that we could do without. If, like me, you're a professional wrestler and you're often in messy locker rooms and you have that awful moment where you can't locate your phone, well, let me tell you, there's something out there to remove this from your life. Ladies, and I know that you're all ladies in my listening audience, if you ever put your purse down only to discover it's not where you thought you left it, there's that momentary panic we could all do without. Perhaps you've misplaced your keys or your laptop bag or whatever that case might be. The device that you need, friends, is the Cobra Tag. It's made by our great show sponsors and friends over at Cobra Electronics. And what you do is you take that Cobra Tag sensor, you attach it to your keys, your handbag, your computer bag, or any other item that you want to protect from loss, and the sensor is going to communicate with a free app that you download onto your phone that reminds you if you leave it behind. The Cobra Tag's a two-way finder system. You just tap the button on the Cobra Tag key fob, and it'll ring your smartphone. And if you're looking for your Cobra Tag protected item, you use the phone's application to make the Cobra Tag key fob ring. The powerful Phone Halo application can even be set to lock your phone when you get out of range. You'll never lose your valuables again with the two-way locator system known as the Cobra Tag. And you don't have to just go to Cobra.com to find out more about it. There's plenty of information there. If you want to get one right now, well, great online retailers, for example, Amazon.com right now is offering tremendous savings off the listed retail price of Cobra Tag. If you head over there and act right now, look for it online, Amazon.com, and plenty of other websites, and pick up one for you or someone you know who's also forgetful. And thanks to our friends over at Cobra for sponsoring the show. You may have seen this story making the rounds this week. A Nutley, New Jersey mother has been accused of letting her 5-year-old use a stand-up tanning booth. This woman is from a town called Nutley. Now, while her trial doesn't start for another month, the accused has vehemently denied this to news sources far and wide, but her judgment does seem questionable based on the fact that she herself has tanned to the point of turning orange, like late 80s Hulk Hogan orange in color. Will she win Mother of the Year? Opening arguments are set to begin June 4th in an Essex County courthouse. Hey, let's cull together some of the best stuff from the blogosphere this week. Beta Dad over on dadcentric.com blogged earlier this week about a Procter & Gamble commercial that's been making the rounds. This is the commercial that ends with the following quote: "The hardest job in the world is the best job in the world. Thank you, Mom." Now, while you might imagine that someone blogging under the pseudonym Beta Dad might take umbrage with the exclusion of the male parental figure in that statement, it's actually something more fundamental that's stuck in his craw. And since I can't improve on his phrasing any, I'm going to read you an excerpt from his blog verbatim. Quote, We could have a very long and pointless discussion about what makes a job hard, or dirty, or bad, or even rewarding, but that would be beside the point. The thing is, parenting is not a job. It has some things in common with a job, sure, but it's a whole different animal. We don't get paid to parent. We can't quit if we get pissed off. We can't look around for better parenting gigs. We can't sue our employer. We don't have an employer. We don't have the option of not taking our work home with us. We generally don't receive any training on the job or otherwise. End quote. Well said, Beta Dad. Melissa Enriquez of Babbel.com blogged this past week about her experience finding a daycare for her newborn that allowed her to check in on her little one throughout the day via webcam technology. Are you familiar with this? To many parents, I'm sure this seems like a selling point for a daycare center, as it almost ensures a certain level of transparency, given that the caregivers could not possibly be aware of when or who is watching them via this webcam. Right? That sounds very logical, does it not? Well, as Melissa discovered after returning to work, it can be quite easy to find yourself obsessed with this peculiar postpartum voyeurism, and it began to affect her focus at work. Eventually, she had to wean herself off the webcam before losing her job. Now, obsessive though I can be, I'm glad my son's daycare has no such mechanism in place, or if they do, I'm ignorant of it. I have very little patience for my fellow human beings, and I don't suffer fools gladly either. I'm hypercritical of everyone, especially the baristas at my closest Starbucks, and I would make myself nuts watching my son's teachers attempt to manage gaggles of toddlers. In addition to which, I would become remiss in my duties here as vice treasurer of Grizzly Productions, which eats up about 120 hours of each work week. My trending show lackey, Natalie, blogs over at mommybeta.com, and this week she reviewed the Luvian Grand Elite. Luvian makes a number of different baby monitors, and these range in price from about $249 all the way up to $600. $600 for a baby monitor. None of these monitors change wet diapers. You'll see that clearly listed. Among the features that Natalie likes best on the Grand Elite, which she recommends, are a high-resolution color screen, a chat back feature that allows you to speak into the baby's room from the monitor to soothe your little one, the ability to record video to an SD card, and also playing soothing music through the camera. Now, for this system, the Luvian Grand Elite system, an extra camera will run you $99 a pop, which would be better than buying a whole second monitor, as you can imagine, based on those prices. These extra cameras, which I said are priced at $99, this would be if you have multiple children that you wish to monitor, or if your cinematic tastes require multiple camera angles of your little bundle of joy, I suppose. But you can pair these through the existing monitoring system rather than buying a whole secondary system. For more details on the best spy tech money can buy, check out Natalie's piece entitled "Choosing a Baby Monitor" over at mommybeta.com. There's lots of great mommy content over there. And yes, dads, you can read it too. I have. I've read the content. That's how I was able to summarize that piece for you. Does your son or daughter or canary like Batman? Of course they do, because Batman is awesome. But Batman, more than any other superhero you know, has been interpreted in vastly different ways over the last 70-plus years, and so different are some of these interpretations that even my not quite 3-year-old son segregates them by costume color. There is blue Batman, and there is black Batman. Now, I'm an expert in very few fields, Dob Bobbers, as you know, but I can talk superheroes until the cows cook breakfast. Here's what you need to know before choosing a Batman program for your little one. If exposing your little one to violence is a concern in your household, you should probably rule out most of the media where Batman wears a predominantly black costume. It's a good rule of thumb, I've found. That is to say, the 80s and 90s movie franchises, that would encompass Batman, Batman Returns, Batman Forever, and Batman and Robin, all feature wild fist fights. They've got machine guns, they've got missiles, they've got explosions. These are all justifiably rated PG-13 for their content, and not just for violence, for other more mature content as well. Those four movies, though, seem tame compared to the Nolan Bat films. Those are the more recent ones, like Batman Begins and The Dark Knight. These are even more violent, and they are especially frightening to children. The really creepy on-screen portrayals of both the Scarecrow and the Joker in those films would probably traumatize my own son into a life of chamber music. Black-costumed Batman also covers Batman the Animated Series, which, despite being a cartoon, is also rife with fisticuffs, gunplay, and other whatnot. So, viewer, beware. There are other Batman animated cartoons as well that feature fisticuffs and that type of violence, like Batman the Brave and the Bold, I'm sorry to report, and, from the earlier part of the 2000s, The Batman. All of these feature hand-to-hand combat type human-on-human violence of some sort. Now, on the other hand, there's Blue Batman. In my house, this is generally the right Batman, given my son's age and penchant for mimicking what he sees on TV. This blue Batman I'm speaking of is part of the Super Friends, of which there are several DVD boxed sets. You can be sure the violence is almost non-existent on the Super Friends. That's because the Super Friends of the 70s and 80s never engage other people in hand-to-hand combat, because that type of media was not considered appropriate for children to be viewing. Until, the big revisions that took place in the early 80s that really forever changed the way that children's programming is governed. In the Super Friends, you're going to see lots of batarang throwing. You'll see Wonder Woman using her magic lasso to rope people up. Superman bends fences to form makeshift jail cells around the Legion of Doom. Sometimes they even let the most powerful Justice Leaguer, Green Lantern Hal Jordan, get in a line of dialogue. Or make a baseball glove with his ring. The Super Friends are pretty safe for you. Pretty safe for your little one, too. So, too, are the Filmation properties titled The Adventures of Batman. That one's from the late 60s. And the follow-up series to that called The New Adventures of Batman, which features Batgirl and fifth-dimensional imp Batmite. Keep in mind, this is Filmation's the same company that made He-Man and the Masters of the Universe. So if you have a low tolerance for Orko, look out for Batmite. Both of those Filmation properties are available commercially. They're the ones that used to be packaged under the title Superpowers back in the heyday of the VHS. These Filmation cartoons are also devoid of hand-to-hand combat as well. They feature lots of nets being thrown over villains at the end of each episode. So get ready for your little cape crusader to imitate this by throwing Blanky over your head. Still, Blanky on the head is preferable to an uppercut to the jaw, which is what you might get if the blue Batman you choose is the 1960s Adam West Batman series that I've discussed here many times. Delightful as that series is, you may regret sharing it with someone of an age where they go pow and biff on other toddlers before being given a timeout and then you being called in for a meeting by the principal. In my house, the best behavior usually follows the animated adventures of Blue Batman, like on the Super Friends, not the live-action Blue Batman, not the black costume Batman either. Now, too many episodes of Super Friends might kill your brain cells and make you dumber, but it does seem like a safer choice all around to me. And as I remark, there are a few things in which I'm expert, but hey, Batman is one of them. In a minute, I'm going to read all the little victories that you sent to me. All of them. In a minute. Want to make a little space in your underwear drawer, or maybe you just want to put a little money in your pocket? Maybe you need cash to upgrade to a new model of your favorite gadget or gizmo. Well, when you need fast payment, fair prices, and free shipping for your used consumer electronic good, you better go see my friends over at gazelle.com. That's G-A-Z-E-L-L-E Elle.com. They've recently streamlined their service, so if you haven't been over to see their website in a little while, you better get over there now. Spend just 60 seconds and find out you get a free offer on all kinds of stuff. Cell phones, smartphones, iPods, iPads, certain types of laptops and desktops, etc. Find out what they're worth. And then you'll go through the very simple process of getting it out the door to them. Includes free shipping, thanks to our friends over at Gazelle.com. And then you get payment. You get a check. You get something in your PayPal. You get an Amazon.com gift card. Whatever you choose. They're very trustworthy. I've always had a positive experience anytime I've sold used consumer electronics to our friends at Gazelle. And you will too. So head over right now and show them some support, because this program, which we deliver to you free every week, would not be possible without the support of great sponsors like them. Thanks, Gazelle. All right, as promised, it's time for me to read off your little victories. These are little parenting victories that you sent over to me on Twitter. I'm at The Daddy On Board. Or you put them on our Facebook fan page, or maybe you put them on Google Plus if you lurk over there. In fact, by the time I get to the end, I may share one of my own. A very recent one just came in moments ago via Twitter from Trevodome, who writes, "My wife and I got a full night's sleep for the first time in 2 years. They have four girls, ages 4, 3, and 2 16-month-old twins." That is a lot of girls that you've made, Trevodom. Congratulations. Ed Dersch writes to me over on Google+. He writes, "I got my 13-year-old daughter into watching Doctor Who and Top Gear." The fact that you've convinced anyone to watch Doctor Who, let alone your daughter, Ed, that's amazing. What is this, like season 42? It's too much. Too much catching up to do there, Ed. I'll never feel like I know the whole story with Doctor Who. Scott Nauer writes to me, "My 4-year-old told me this morning that he wanted to throw a Steve Jobs-themed birthday party for me in September. I hope that's not a death threat of some kind, Scott." Sounds ominous. Adam Koenigsberg writes to me, "My daughter, age 7, said in reaction to learning the age of her grandparents, 'So what? It doesn't matter how old someone is.'" I don't know about that, Adam. I don't know. As you demean your 7-year-old, tell her that. You're too young to understand. Put them in their place, these little ones. Matt Lyons writes, "My 2-month smiled at TV while watching a baseball game. I'm sure it was just a random smile, but I like to think he enjoyed watching Travis Hafner hit a double." That sounds like baseball things. Hit a double. That could mean anything. I think it's about ice cream. Dan Verwolf wrote to me, "I woke up before my 2- and 4-year-old sons. Probably something I could do more often. That would not be a victory in my house. That is being defeated, Dan. When I wake up before my son, I've been defeated. I'm then defeated when he wakes up and comes in screaming to wake me up. It's a string of defeats in the morning. That's what I'm saying." Elizabeth Wright wrote to me, "My 3-year-old is finally starting to color inside the lines, but will color things the opposite color of what they're supposed to be on purpose, following the rules while still asserting individuality." Smiley face emoticon from Elizabeth Wright. Stephanie Katzeman used to do that in my 2nd grade class. I understand she was whisked away to the principal's office after coloring the baby Jesus' face purple. This past week, I happened to be in the car, as I often am. It's my chief mode of transport, especially since getting rid of my hovercraft and moped. And I happened to have my son Elliot along with me. I happened to, on shuffle mode of iPodism, come across the Michael Martin Murphy song, "What Am I Doin' Hangin' Round?" You may know that the Monkees covered "What Am I Doin' Hangin' Round?" on their quintessential album, Pisces, Aquarius, Capricorn, and Jones Limited, from 1967. Upon hearing the Michael Martin Murphy version, my son, who is ever more attentive to music, said, "Daddy, I thought this was a Monkees song." And I thought, yes, that is my little boy. Hashtag little victories. Send yours in, and I will read them while butchering your last name on next week's podcast, most likely to be called Daddy on Board 87. Between then and now, you can check in with me the other places I tend to crop up. You'll find me most of the time on The Trending Show, except when I'm traveling, and over on the Grizzly Bear Egg Cafe, except when I oversleep and miss our recording time. But other than that, you can catch me there, and everywhere that Chikara goes. It is a modern reinvention and reimagining of the pro wrestling performance genre with the heavy influence of comic books, fantasy, and science fiction. You'll like it a bunch. Check out ChikaraPro.com. Everywhere they go, I go too. It was great getting to meet some of you this past weekend as I was in Chicago Ridge, Illinois. And then in Lafayette, Indiana, I had the chance to meet great Dob Bobbers just like you, live and in person, both my tour stops. And it was nice to meet your little ones as well. So thanks for coming up and saying hello. It's always a pleasure. I'll be back next week with more of the Dob Adios, amigos.